CGM 99.1 FM programming is hosted almost exclusively by community volunteers. The views and opinions expressed on the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CGM FM. For more information and resources, visit our website at cjam.ca.
Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CGM's Handy Link. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
To HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with David Arrington, who will be telling us a little bit about AMI. So, can you tell me a little bit about the work of AMI?
AMI is a content company that creates content that's relevant to the pan disability community. We operate free broadcast services, AMI TV in English, AMI Tele in French, and AMI Audio, which is a reading service. We're available on every cable company and satellite company across Canada, and we're the only network like ours in the world, to my knowledge.
So, how do you go about reaching out to the interested communities to let them know that your services are available and this content exists?
Yeah, it's a challenge with limited resources. We kind of take a three-prong approach in reaching out to our audience. Our first approach is through our own self-promotional ideas, like on-air promotions. We do a lot of sponsorships of like-minded organizations like the CNIB, Foundation for Fighting Blindness, March of Dimes, various organizations like that, kind of sponsor their events in return, do a lot of newsletters and things like that back and forth. We do a lot of social media advertising on either Facebook or now TikTok, where we'll take snippets of our content that we produce and push them out to various social media platforms. And finally, we do some general awareness campaigns. We're launching a campaign in the new year. Come January, February, we'll do 30-second TV spots in English Canada, and we'll do some radio and print media in the French markets.
Do you ever encounter any myths or misperceptions about disabilities in your work?
For sure. If you ask the pan-disability community what they want to see, is they want to be treated like everybody else and be inclusive to the media. So don't portray them as a poor person with a disability, or don't portray them as a superhero who's overcoming things with their disability. Treat them like any other person in the community and talk about their lives from their perspective, and that can be anything from employment to relationships to health and beauty and fitness to business practices to technology. They just want to be their stories told from their perspective and not be treated any differently than any other Canadian is really what they're looking for.
So do you find that when a real life story is shared that the community gains that understanding that this is a complex person and not just some medical statistic of what a disability might be?
Sure. I think that it gives insight to someone's, it gives insight to someone who may have a disability, but it also gives them insight to the challenges they face, but also to the many successes they have as well. And that, 22% of the population is represented by persons with disabilities in Canada. It's a growing population. And they have the same concerns and issues and stories to tell as any other Canadian does. And we just give them the platform to do that.
So in your time with AMI, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Sure. So when I first started at AMI, we were really about the mechanics of description, whereas we would take other people's content, say it be from CBC or American movies or whatnot, and really just add description to them. And back in 2018, the CRTC mandated that all of prime time in Canada, excluding news and live event, had to have description. So all of the networks now have described programming and closed captioning. So we were really forced to kind of pivot from a company that took other people's content and made it accessible through description to a real media company that creates their own content that's relevant to the disability community, the pan-disability community itself. So the fact that we are now creating content, shows like Employable Me or Fashion Disc or Hook and By Crook or Senada de Banpa, and they are winning awards here in Canada, and they're winning awards internationally with respect to the quality, the entertainment factor of them. That's a real switch for us, and we're incredibly proud of that success in the last 5 years.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for inclusion in the media and the steps going forward, what would it be?
Well, I think it's the foundation of the Canadian Broadcasting Act that it's inclusive of all Canadians, and the disability community is one large percentage of that population. And so as the Indigenous community or minorities or various ethnic backgrounds, that's why the Canadian broadcasting system is the envy of the world, because it's inclusive of all Canadians. And we just kind of focus on the disability community in our little world at AMI, but there's a huge population out there that's multifaceted, and they all have the right and they all have the opportunity to be included in the Canadian broadcasting system. And we play our role in that with respect to disabilities.
So I'd imagine that the idea of intersectionality comes up as well. It's not just people with disabilities. It might be an Indigenous person with a disability or someone of a different cultural background living in Canada with a disability.
Absolutely. And we do, we try to tell stories from across Canada. So we look at a regionality perspective, but we also look at a multicultural perspective. We do cover Indigenous events. We covered the Day of Recognition two weeks ago, and we had that Reconciliation Day on our network live. We carried the feed, and we offered description to that program and show. So there's lots of intersection. I think that's uniquely Canadian if you think about it. We all intersect in some sort of way with someone who may have a different background from us, and I think that's what makes us special.
So, do you find the community typically is eager for your work, that because you're presenting it in the form of media, that it's such a cool thing, that's easily relatable to the general public?
Yeah, that's also the challenge, because the media landscape is changing so fast, right? So we have our three broadcast services, and we traditional television networks, but now the challenge is you have to make that media available on multi-platforms such as online or mobile apps or on YouTube or on social media apps or on new OTT services like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Crave TV or Gem, things like that. So the fact that there's more and more touch points to connect with Canadians, it's also complicating it as well. So it's a challenge that we're up for. It's a challenge that we're making changes to our strategies to embrace. But it's a challenge, for sure.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this. But if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
In this segment of our show, Randy Boring will be telling us about Strong Together. So, can you tell me a little bit about Strong Together and what led you to want to be a part of doing this for the ICHA?
Strong Together is a class that focuses on cardiovascular training, strength training, as well as flexibility. And those are the tenets of fitness, whether it's any population training. And it was actually Rudy Gatti that got me into it. I was subletting off of the Taekwondo guys and I had a business for 4 years, the Urban Trainer, and then Rudy gave me a shout and I jumped at the opportunity.
So, since you began working with the ICHA, have you used any modified training techniques for any of the clients?
Yeah, I mean, with anybody, you always go to your own abilities, and participation is really the main thing. You know, it's important that you just attend. Whatever you're capable of doing, you go to your own ability. Everybody has different fitness abilities, and I just try to motivate people and, you know, try to make it fun for them as well and get them excited a little bit. And, of course, they give me that feedback as well. Like.
So what are some of the most most engaging activities? What do the clients seem to like the best with this class?
I mean, certainly they like the running on the spot drills and the strength work, of course. And then we try to make it fun and you know, get everybody excited. People are shouting sometimes, but really it's they motivate each other, of course. And yeah, just again, I'm just lucky to be part of it.
So I'd imagine, as with any sort of physical activity, there are also some mental health benefits, improved focus, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, anytime anybody exercises, we get like a dopamine kick, and it makes us like ourselves, and we should all like ourselves more than we do. And you know, fitness has been part of my life my whole life, so I know what it does for me if I don't feel the same, if I don't train for a couple of weeks. So I'm sure the members in the class, too, they realize what it does for them. Keeps their mood elevated, and they look forward to it.
So, having begun this in the middle of COVID, did you find it was an adaptation when the in-person resumed?
Yeah, for sure. When you're teaching a class to a video screen and live, it's certainly been a challenge. And but yeah, it seems like people are tuning in for it. They enjoy it, and of course, in person is always the best because it's, you know, very real people in front of you, and nothing beats in person. But you know, if people have to, they use the Zoom app, you know, to participate, right?
So, in your time doing this class, what's been the greatest success moment you've experienced?
Oh, the greatest success moment. You know, really, it's just seeing the participants excited for me to teach them. And you know, sometimes they'll get super excited and, you know, howl out loud, or you know, somebody says something funny. I think that's really the success right there, is getting people engaged. We get out of our own heads kind of with the class. You know, you get involved and really, you know, get joy. I think that's really what it is, you know, with exercise, right?
I'm wondering if any of the ICHA members bring in, like, a support worker or a caregiver with them. Do they get involved in the class as well?
Yes, there's one particularly. Yeah, and it's funny because she was in a daycare for my son probably, oh my God, that'd be over 30 years ago. And then she brought in a young lady, and she participates in the class. And it was so funny to recognize each other after 30 years. It's amazing. But mostly they sit to the side, the caregivers, but this one person jumps in.
If you could send any message to the community about the importance of programs like this and keeping active, regardless of the population, regardless of the ability range, what would you say?
Yes. What would the message be? Exercise. It has such a value and gives back, you know, 10 times what you put into it. It should be, you know, it's inclusive. It's not just for, like you said before, special populations or anything. Everybody should be able to exercise. And before I got into this too, I did classes with anywhere from up to like 70-year-olds. So I worked with 20-year-olds to 70-year-olds. Obviously, there's a range there. And you have to always listen to your body and just do the best you can and, you know, try to pay attention to how you feel. Those are all the basic cues that you give them, you know, and take your time and have fun, really. And that's the biggest takeaway, I think, is participation and getting involved in exercise because it gives so much back. And it's inclusive. It's not exclusive, right?
So do you see this program expanding and more and more opportunities for fitness becoming available through your work?
I hope so. It seems like the class has grown since the beginning, so can only hope that it becomes, you know, bigger and bigger. I don't see why it wouldn't be, because if you know, we get quality training in there, maybe people besides, you know, myself, and maybe it'll grow. And yes, exercise is the doctor.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thanks, Ken.
Of course. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Ever wanted to be on the radio? Then why not volunteer at CJAM? Anyone from the community can come and volunteer, student or not. You get to host your own radio show, learn about radio and audio production, and much more. Reach out to programcjam@gmail.com or go to cjam.ca to learn more about how you can volunteer.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a bit about AMI from David Arrington, and Randy Boring took us through Strong Together. In this segment of our show, MP Mike Morris will be telling us about his insights on a national disability insurance strategy. So, can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on a national disability insurance plan?
Sure. Well, this is something that the federal, the governing party has made promises about a guaranteed income for folks with disabilities for many years now. And it's disappointing that we haven't seen it come to fruition yet. This is, you know, Canadians with disabilities are disproportionately living in poverty across the country. Upwards of 40% of those living in poverty have a disability. And so it's a really critical, it's a moral obligation, in my view, for us to close the social safety net and work alongside and ensure that Canadians with disabilities have a seat at the table as we push to bring a guaranteed income to Canadians with disabilities.
So what are some of the barriers? You mentioned this has been a long-term goal. Why do you think it hasn't come to fruition yet?
That's a great question, Cam. I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know. It's disappointing that that's the case, that other items and other people have been prioritized. And if anything, it just reinforces to me how important the ongoing advocacy is. The fact that groups from March of Dimes to Disability Without Poverty to the Canadian Labour Congress together are mobilizing to ensure that MPs from across the country are hearing from Canadians with disabilities and their allies, whether it's emails or phone calls or meetings, so that they know what a priority this is, and that we're long past the time where it should have already been brought into place. So, you know, there's various other answers to that question with respect to there's a confidence and supply agreement right now that in a minority parliament is part of what ensures that parliament functions. and the two parties that are part of that agreement don't have the disability benefit in the top priorities of that agreement. So we need to ensure that every political party in the country prioritizes the disability benefit. And I think we do that by advocating, by ensuring that the voices of Canadians with disabilities are heard. And that's how we're going to get follow through, not just to fast track the benefit, but to ensure that it reflects the principles that the disability community is calling for.
What's interesting in what you just said is referring to it as a priority. One could look at it from the aspect of it's preparing for one's own future, because more than likely at some point everyone's going to experience a disability or at least be touched by a family member who is affected. So having this in place is in the interests of everyone, really.
If I'm honest with you, Cam, so I was just elected just over a year ago, and when I was elected, I brought forward a petition calling on the federal government to fast-track the disability benefit, taking the lead from Disability Without Poverty. But the reason I did that is because of the number of people. I live in Kitchener, Ontario, and the number of people I've spoken with in my community, either, you know, it's folks in my community with a disability or family members of theirs or, you know, others who are just disappointed that we haven't followed through on such a critical commitment. If there's anything you think that elected people could agree on, shouldn't it be this? Like, isn't this such an obvious place to start when it comes to lifting up folks out of poverty? And so, ultimately, I think that's why we're seeing this move forward, is because enough people across the country have advocated for it to be a priority. And obviously, the work's not done yet. It's going way too slow. We can talk more about that if you'd like. But I think that's where I put my faith, is not in political parties, but in people across the country who have been advocating and are going to continue to for the disability benefit to come to life.
So in your time seeing those impacted advocating for themselves or through others, has there been any success you've experienced? Any push that's really gained some traction and stands out for you?
Well, for me, Cam, I look at this time last year, we had a speech from the throne that didn't mention Canadians with disabilities at all. We had a fall economic statement that didn't mention the disability benefit. We then had a federal budget that didn't allocate any money to the disability benefit. In fact, it barely mentioned people with disabilities at all. And yet, as a result of, you know, that petition I'd mentioned, we got 18,000 people signing on to it, an open letter that 79 some odd MPs signed on to, another one that 43 senators signed on to, a motion that I brought to the floor, a unanimous consent motion that the MP for Port Moody Coquitlam, Benita Zarillo, brought forward, that all MPs pushed through that unanimous consent motion to fast-track the legislation. As a result of that, we saw C-22 get introduced in June. And so that to me is an example where, hey, look, the advocacy worked. We moved from this not being talked about at all. Now, there's plenty of room to critique. The bill that got introduced was the exact same bill that had been previously introduced in the 43rd Parliament. So it's not perfect. But I think that is a demonstration that our democracy can work. And, you know, evidence that within, you know, 6 months or so that we were able to see something move on to the priority list that didn't seem to be there before.
So I understand you've been supporting my friends at Every Canadian Counts with their efforts to keep the movement going.
Yeah, I met with the folks at Every Canadian Counts just a few weeks ago. And, you know, I think it's so important to be hearing from such a wide mix of voices to inform the work. And that to me is a really important part of our democracy. And I think it's something, again, that I've been really impressed. Before I was elected, I worked and I led an environmental not-for-profit. And I think something that I learned in that time is how difficult it can be to make time for the collaboration between organizations in the movement. And the amount of collaboration I've seen between advocates and organizations across the disability community across the country, I think speaks volumes to the progress we're starting to see. When we see joint letters that I think Every Canadian Counts, for example, was a part of, I think it really amplifies the message and it helps make sure that the politicians are paying attention.
Right. Thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you could stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, Cam. Every bit of media attention that we put on the disability benefit is going to give that much more pressure and momentum for the governing party and for all parliamentarians to follow through. So I really appreciate you including this. Appreciate the chance to chat with you about it, because I think this is, it's what we need. We need to continue putting the pressure to advocate for the Canada Disability Benefit, not just to be fast-tracked, but to be adequate to ensure that we lift up Canadians with disabilities out of poverty.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
My friends, I think the name Strong Together says it all, in so much as the disability community is that much better off when we're united, when our goal is clear, our vision is working together. If you look at things like what Mike was saying during his interview about coming together with other leaders to make it a priority to ensure persons with disabilities have better access and an equal opportunity and a productive life, that's something that no one person can achieve alone. However, as a united front, as a group of people working together with ideas and insights, we can push forward. The fact of the matter is, we are strong together. As a community, as a people, but honestly, we need to learn to play off each other's abilities, see what skills complement each other. Everyone, regardless of what their primary ability level may be, bring something to the table. No matter how you move, see, hear, or think, you do have something to contribute. And I'm glad to see that leadership in this world today is taking that more into consideration. To push forward is a great thing. However, I've always maintained it's a matter of monitoring. It's a matter of ensuring that the policies we develop are actually coming into play. It's fine to say, we have things, these great ideas for people with disabilities. We have all these great incentives, these great initiatives. But if nobody knows about them, the word can't get out in an accessible format. What good are we doing? And if a person doesn't believe that they have anything to offer this world, chances are they're not going to explore their own abilities and ultimately test the range thereof. Everyone should be willing to ask the question, have I actually tried this, before declaring that they can't do it? That is what I love about disability programs, especially in athletics. Seeing people is taking a little step forward. You get enough little steps together, they add up to a big step, my friends. I'll be honest with you, my friends. Sometimes, in taking that step, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be setbacks. But sometimes, you have to learn resilience through steps like that. You find an even greater strength in saying, okay, I didn't get it right the first time. That doesn't mean I never will. Continue to push forward till one day you find your very best. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.